Hello, beautiful souls. I'm so positively delighted that you could join us on the Learn to Love podcast. I am your host, Zach Beach, and I'm excited to introduce our guest for today's episode, Scott Stabile. Scott was on the podcast on episode 82 to talk about his book, Big Love, The Power of Living with a Wide Open Heart. It was such a joy to have his loving presence on the show. I just had to invite him back to talk about his newest book entitled Enough As You Are. Scott Stabile is a passionate love advocate who believes there is no force more powerful than love to create real connection and healing in our world. Scott guides transformational breathwork journeys and leads personal empowerment workshops internationally. His inspirational posts have attracted a huge and devoted social media following, including more than 350,000 Facebook fans. And because Scott's message is all about accepting all parts of ourselves, including the so-called bad parts and imperfections, I decided to do something new with this current episode. I decided to leave our audio as is. You might not realize, but every episode I want to put out the best episode as possible. And as a result, I do some heavy edits of all the awkward pauses and flubbed words and technical difficulties to give you a pure and pristine episode. But Scott's message about just accepting all parts of ourselves really resonated with me, and we even mentioned it a little bit towards the end of our recording. So I wanted to give you the full unedited interview. I could even take that out, but I'm going to leave it in, the full unedited interview, so that you can realize that not everybody is perfect. Perfection will never be attained. And you are loved just as you are, and I hope you love this interview just as it is. So without further ado, let's begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Learn to Love podcast, your guide to everything love, sex, intimacy, and relationships. Each week, your host, Zach Beach, interviews new experts on love, including couples therapists, relationship coaches, sex educators, and best-selling authors. Learn the best tips and cutting-edge wisdom to better love yourself, others, and the world. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Zach. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
How are you doing today?
You know, I'm a mixed bag, honestly. Oh. I've been feeling a lot of the heaviness of the world. Seeing you, and we've been chatting for the past few minutes, I feel lighter. It's nice to connect with other open-hearted souls, you know. So I'm feeling much of everything lately. How about yourself?
I'm overall feeling pretty good, but yeah, I'm in grad school, another grad school program right now, and yesterday one of the professors decided to express his opinions on the conflict that's happening right now.
Okay.
And as you know, it's a very... Exactly.
And what is the class and what are you studying?
I'm going to a counseling program now. So after interviewing... Counseling, yeah. So after interviewing so many therapists on the podcast, I was like, okay, I think this is now also going to be part of my future and my path, just helping people in their relationships more than just coaching. And I really appreciate your honesty of you being a mixed bag, because I do feel like that's a huge theme of your new book and a huge theme that I wanted to talk about today, because I was also expecting you to be so excited and happy because your book came out yesterday. Yeah, so that should that should be feeling good.
I was much heavier yesterday, actually.
Oh.
Because of the big book launch event in the Detroit area.
Okay.
And but you know, that is a lot of what the book's about, is enough as you are. And I was leaving some messages back and forth with a friend just saying, I have this event tonight and I'm feeling really heavy. and I need, you know, I need to show up and do the thing. And she was so wonderful. She left me a she's one of my dearest friends. Her name's Abby. And she left me a message back just saying, you know what, you, and this is going to sound trite, but it isn't, like, she's like, remember, your book is all about this. You are enough as you are. And if as you are right now is heavy and that's part of your energy tonight, then that's enough too. You don't have to be anything other than who you are. So she reminded me of what I like to remind other people of. It was very helpful. And it was a beautiful event, actually, last night, being with family and friends and people who came out. It definitely transformed into a more kind of excited affair by the end.
Yeah, I resonate a lot with what you're saying, because I think you and I are both on very similar paths. One is that we do love to write about, talk about, and teach love. And, you know, it's 50-50, I say. When I'm talking to even a group of people about living a more compassionate life, that's a reminder for me. Absolutely. And also, yeah, when we put anything out into the world, any piece of creative work that, you know, we may have spent hours and days and weeks and blood, sweat and tears to put into, that final time when it's released can be one of not necessarily relief, but almost, you know, some fear and anxiety, because you might go to Amazon and someone's like, 1 star, this is the worst thing I've ever read. And then you're like, oh, wow.
I have to say, I had a lot more anxiety with my last book because they were personal essays and I shared a lot about myself and revealed a lot. So I knew that anyone who was reading that book was going to know quite a bit about me. And this book is a bit different. It's just short prose and poetry. So it's little shorter pieces of writing and it's not my life story. So there's not, someone could give it 1 star and hate it still, sure. And I'll survive that, you know.
Yeah, that's not as much of a personal attack.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, thanks so much for coming on. You were such a wonderful guest many episodes ago. So I was so happy to find out that you had a new book. And I really appreciate your willingness to come back on the show, because I do feel like we are on very similar life paths and really believing in love and seeking to bring it into the world and to help others love themselves and love others. And you write in the intro to your book, Being Enough As We Are, I believe love to be our most powerful force for real, lasting healing, and that a dedication to self-love is the most important commitment we can make for ourselves and our world. And I'd love to hear what brought you to such a wonderful conclusion.
I feel like you and I are just smiling through the whole through everything we say, which is nice. You know, I just paying attention to my life and paying attention to the world, and everything I write about comes from my lived experience. So it's really only a reflection of how I've come to understand this reality based on living in it, and time and again, what I see in myself and in others is a deep desire to love and to be loved. I would say it's our greatest desire. And what I feel inside of myself that when I'm operating from that place of love, and to be clear, Zach, when I talk about love, I see love as an energy. So for me, when I'm talking about love, I'm talking about this energy that is a pure positive force in our world. And it's an umbrella term for kindness, compassion, forgiveness, empathy. All these things live under the umbrella of love. So whenever we're acting in alignment with those energies, we're actually being loving. We're practicing love in action. And what I've seen for myself is that whenever I am coming from that place, I feel most at home. I feel most aligned with spirit, with source, with nature, with myself. I feel most whole. And whenever I am functioning outside of the energy of love, which I do often because I'm human, as we all are, I don't feel as clear. I don't feel as whole. I don't feel as at home. And I see a lot of, there are a lot of forces out there that act as change agents. Anger, for instance, is a very powerful oftentimes necessary change agent, but anger on its own does not create healing. So you asked me about healing specifically, and if we're talking about creating healing in our lives and in our world, love has to be a part of it. Without it, we are going to be missing the component that does more than create change, but actually fosters healing. That's how I see it.
I love that. Love is an energy that is a pure positive force in our world. And whenever we come from that place, we are the most at home and the most whole.
Are you repeating? You're good, man.
It's good. It's beautiful, inspiring words. And I want to check in about what happens, I guess, when we are either directing that energy to ourselves or perhaps resting in that energy. So how do we talk about and how do you think about this idea of self-love and what self-love looks like?
For me, it's become my path. Honestly, I think as much as anything else, understanding that it's easy to say, and we've heard it often, everything starts from within. And how I see that in connection to self-love is recognizing that my relationship with myself forms the foundation from which I experience everything and everyone in this world. So it makes sense to me that the better relationship I am in with myself, the better relationship I'm going to be with others in the world around me, which is to say that when I'm willing to show up for myself with compassion and acceptance and love and empathy, I will much more naturally be able to extend that to others, to our planet, to this world in general, which is why self-love it's critically important. Because what we see in the world, what I see, I'll speak for myself, in the world, with everybody, put a person in front of me and I will be able to guess fairly accurately, I suspect, how they are relating to themselves based on how they're showing up in the world. What do they think about themselves? Like, mean people are not in good relationship with themselves. I promise you that. There's no way you are in love with yourself and then being nasty to others out in the world in general. Like, yeah, we all do it every once in a while. It's just not how love works. So for me, that is the gift of self-love. It's the most beautiful selfishness that exists in our world, because love always transcends self. So you can trust that any energy you're putting into deepening your relationship with yourself will transcend the relationship you have with yourself and be shared with others. That's just it's the nature of love. It's transcendent. It's abundant. It's expansive. It's always in service to the greater good. That's how I experience it. And I'll say this about self-love is that it feels like crap. Can we swear on this podcast?
Yeah, you can swear.
Crap felt really false for me. You know, I try to be authentic here. No, it feels like shit to hate on yourself and shame yourself and judge yourself. So at the very base level, the invitation to seek a better relationship with yourself is because you're going to feel much better by doing so. Your personal world will change by doing so. And we all want to feel good. And even though that's not the promise, we can't always be feeling good. It is another innate human desire that's never going to leave us. And I understand that about myself. Like, I want to feel good, and love feels good. If hatred felt good, I would be much more hateful. If envy felt good, you know what I mean? I want to give energy to the things that make me feel good in my life.
Yeah, what I'm hearing reminds me of that quote that what we reject in others, we reject in ourselves. And when you mention that mean people are not in good relationships to themselves, it's probably the meanness that they're expressing outwardly is a reflection of a meanness that is being expressed inwardly.
100%. Yes, absolutely. How are you with self-love?
Well, I like that you said it was a path. Because yeah, for me, it is a practice, and it always is a difficult line to skirt along the lines of what it, when does self-love become narcissism or when does self-love become self-indulgence? And so I would love to hear more from you along the lines of, yeah, what it kind of looks like when I do start to bring more kindness and empathy to myself. Does it look like, you know, a bubble bath and taking a second piece of cake because it's going to make me feel good?
Hey, it can look like that. But what it looks like when I hear you say that, what I feel is that self-love for me looks like if I decide to take that second piece of cake and I know that my mind is going to want to shame me for doing so, and probably my mind is going to want to shame me on some level for taking the first piece of cake. Self-love is the invitation to eliminate that shame, or acknowledge the shame but give no energy to it, and recognize that this is what I'm choosing to do right now. If I am doing this and believing that this choice to eat two big pieces of cake is not the healthiest choice, and yet I'm still choosing to do it, self-love invites me to look at that choice as a part of being human. Sometimes we make choices that aren't the healthiest choice. I'm no less worthy of love for doing so. I'm no more deserving of shame for doing so. You know, as we move through our lives, we're going to do a whole host of things that are out of alignment with what we believe to be the best things for us. And what I've gotten better at in my life is removing the shame. Because ultimately, Zach, what I believe, so much of our suffering is created not by the choices we're making, but by how we're judging the choices we're making. Which is to say, if I eat a piece of cake, all I'm doing is eating a piece of cake. And if I like the taste of that cake, that can be an incredibly joyful experience. If I compound it with, look at the calories and look at all the sugar and this is going to upset your stomach and suddenly I've packed on to this very innocent experience of eating cake a whole world of judgment and shame, and that's when the suffering comes in. So for me, self-love is just understanding. It's a gentle and continuous reminder of our humanity. And bringing grace to our humanity and remembering that who we are as we are worthy human beings, and that that worth is inherent. It is not incumbent on anything we're doing. It's not predicated on our jobs, our wealth, our looks, on anything other than the fact that we were born and will die worthy human beings. So for me, all of this connects to loving ourselves, these reminders. And by the way, loving ourselves is also understanding that there are parts of us that may always struggle to love ourselves. And can we be okay with that too? That is deep self-love and deep acceptance. Accepting the parts that can't accept all the parts of who we are. Loving the parts that can't love all the parts of who we are. Right? Like there are always deeper levels to go. And why wouldn't we go there? I mean, that's ultimately my experience of living. I come back to, why wouldn't I do this for myself? It's creating more peace in my life. It's creating more harmony. It's creating deeper connections with others. It's creating a deeper acceptance of myself. So for me, the energy I put into this work is always worth it. And one other thing I'll say, and then I'll let you talk because I've been talking for a while, is that I see the practice of self-love as a practice, and anything you practice at, you get better at. So for anyone listening who may be thinking, I have no idea how to love myself. I've never loved myself. I try to love myself. I can't. I feel I can promise, and I don't like to promise too much, but if you practice at showing up for yourself in a more heart-centered, loving way, it will become more natural to show up for yourself in a more centered, heart-loving way. And what does that look like? Practically, it can look like simply acknowledging the times that you actually are showing up for yourself in a loving way, even though what your mind is telling you is that you don't love yourself. Every time you brush your teeth, every time you take a shower, every time you prepare for yourself food that tastes good, these are acts of self-love. And we're doing these types of things all through the day that speak to it. It's just that we're in the habit of taking it for granted. And I've made it a practice in these past years in my life. I mean, I still take a lot of things for granted, sure. And I've made it a practice to carve out moments of acknowledgement. Look at you now cooking this meal for yourself. This is this is you loving yourself right now. Like, let's bring awareness to these moments, because by doing so, for me, it's all energetic. Mm-hmm. The more I'm aware, the more I acknowledge how I'm loving myself, the more likely I am to love myself. It's energy that builds on energy and builds on energy. Mm.
I love that. And, you know, the huge message I'm hearing is the simple idea that we're worthy of love no matter what. And that includes no matter what we do or don't do to love ourselves. Because I'm sure I could like open up, you know, some magazine. I probably could Google like ways to love myself, and it'll be like, here's 10 things you can do. Here's 15 ways to love yourself right now. And that implies that there's things I need to do to love myself, where there actually, it doesn't matter what you do and what you don't do. You can bring a loving energy to yourself no matter what.
Love has no conditions. It's what you're saying. Love doesn't need anything. Love just loves. That is for me how the energy of love works. It is always ready to love, no matter what. That's all it is inviting, no matter what. So I know when I'm connecting to my heart, because my inclination is just to offer love to whomever is in front of me or to whatever is in front of me without conditions, without expectations. And this is not an easy thing for any of us to do all the time, but a worthy practice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll read a quote from your own book. It's very on point here. You write, "You are whole, beautiful, wild, strong, gifted, worthy, sacred, loved, and enough as you are." And I'd love to just challenge you a little bit. You know, let's say I'm... Let's say I'm a quote unquote, I'm going to use a, like, I don't know, not a nice term. I'm a loser. You know, I'm 35 years old. I'm unemployed, overweight, living in my parents' basement. All I do is smoke weed and play video games all day. Am I still loved and enough just as I am? Is every single thing within me still worthy of love?
How would you answer that? I know my answer. My answer is a one word, which is definitely. So what about you?
Well, you know, there is that sort of concern that somebody might have, you know, if they don't fully believe what you're saying here. There's a possible concern that loving all parts of ourselves, including the imperfections, undercuts any motivation to improve or change one's life. Like, it's fine that I'm a terrible person and that's just who I am, or something. Not like a terrible person, obviously, that now I'm getting caught up, but it's fine that I'm, you know, doing what I do.
Sorry, forgive me. I cut you off.
What do you say to somebody that objects that self-love and loving and accepting ourselves undercuts the motivation to change and improve and grow?
Well, I feel called to say a few things. One is that the person you described, right? The pot smoking, jobless, basement living, whatever other things you added to it. I would suspect that 9.8 out of 10 of those people that you described do not love themselves. I would guess that. Oh, I just saw a lost connection. Are we back?
I hear you. Yeah.
Okay, good. I would guess, because I know at times in my life when I'm not necessarily living in the way that I would like to be living, I'm not I haven't been steeped in self-love in those times. It wasn't that I was loving myself so beautifully that I had to stay in the basement and had to stay, you know, on the computer. Like that isn't what happens from love. In my experience, I have not shamed myself into a better state of being. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I have loved myself into a better state of being. So the question is, initially, are we worthy of love no matter what choices we're making? And to that, I would answer absolutely, because I would come back to how I believe the directive of love to be, which is that you're worthy no matter what. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if you have a job or don't, if you're living in a basement or a mansion, if you're whatever or whatever, we're all worthy of love. Mm. And I don't think it's love that is the thing that is going to prevent someone from standing into their power or their truth in a bigger way. In my experience, it's the thing that invites us into our truth and into our power in a different way. And at the same time, I would love for you to present me with someone who's living a life that they're not really thrilled with on 10 different dimensions, but absolutely loves themselves at the same time. Because did I answer that okay? I'm not really thrilled with my answer. Did that come through all right?
Yes. I especially liked how you said that we cannot shame ourselves into a better way of being. And even before, when you were talking about the second piece of cake, let's look at the first piece of cake. Let's make sure that one was chosen with a positive intention. I was thinking how useful love is in sort of short circuiting the negative feedback loop of, say, shame and judgment. Like, I feel bad, so I'm going to do this thing that makes me even feel even worse, and then I feel worse, and I'm going to keep doing the thing, and then love is sort of that stuff, that moment that says, I'm going to pause, I'm going to think about what's going to truly nourish me, what's going to truly bring me alive to the, you know, the fullest version of myself. And it's not going to be this action I was going to do. It's going to be something else. So in the case of the basement dweller, for example, yeah, it's like, actually the most loving thing for me right now is to go outside and smell some flowers or something like that. Like, to get outside and go on a walk in nature, that will bring more of a loving energy to my being.
Absolutely. And I just think it's important to acknowledge our humanity within all of this, which is to say that I experience every choice I'm making in my life as a part of being human. And what I've gotten better at is, I said this kind of the same thing earlier, when I'm making choices that don't necessarily feel the best, I can still bring to myself compassion and acceptance and a reminder that, hey, this too is human, and you're okay, honey. No worries. You're still beautiful. You're still worthy. And you're choosing to watch Netflix for 8 hours in a row right now. It doesn't make you an unworthy person. It makes you a human being who sometimes, because this reality is so intense and violent and insane, sometimes we all need to numb. You know, I am someone who is about feeling. I believe in the importance of feeling our feelings and being with what is happening inside of us in an honest way. And I believe in the importance of numbing sometimes, escaping, because to hold ourselves open to feeling everything at a time when there is such an onslaught of information and energy coming at us all the time, morning to night, we can't feel through all of that. It's too much. Mm-hmm. You know, and I used to, I think one of the ways in which I used to shame myself was the choices for numbing. And look, I think we can push numbing and escaping to an extreme that isn't benefiting ourselves. And we're still worthy of love when we do that, of course. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about only numbing, but I'm talking about holding space for all of these choices and whatever it takes to be with the extremeness of this reality.
Yeah, the word coping mechanism is coming up for me, and it sort of involves looking at, okay, like this action that I'm doing, in your words, like numbing or escaping, is a way of coping with the difficulties of the world. And maybe that specific action isn't in the long run or in more of an extreme sense going to serve my life path. But right now, in this moment, it's what I need.
Yes. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautifully put.
So I'm already in my head sort of translating all these things you're saying about self-love to that in intimate partnership. Even earlier when you said that love invites us to discover our truth and discover our power, I was thinking about how in an intimate relationship, in the very same way, we cannot shame and criticize and judge our partner to become a better person, but we can invite them into that truth and power. So I'd love to hear about how this same basic idea of loving all the imperfections can be so healing and growing when applied to another person.
Well, it certainly beats judging other people and wanting them to change, knowing that they won't. You know, I mean, I'll tell you, I've had two long-term romantic relationships in my life. And in both those relationships, I think I'm the love guy, you know, I'm the one who's always preaching love and talking about love. And in both those relationships, my partners were much more unconditionally accepting and loving of me than I was of them. I was the one who was still like wanting them to change and wanting them to do things differently. Well, both of them were just like, I'm good with you. Like, they didn't agree with everything I was doing. They certainly didn't like everything I was doing. And at the same time, they never made me feel like I had to change who I was. They accepted me and loved me. And it was it was so important to receive that and experience it, and as important to see the ways in which, as loving as I am in and outside of partnership, it's like I was not showing up in an unconditional way with them. Not really. And all that did for me was create more angst in my being around the dynamic in our relationship. And I'm sure it didn't feel good for them. And it was never overt, because we're very clever in relationships, right? It wasn't like, I need you to change this way. It was probably through suggestion and whatever else, who knows. But it was a real wake-up call. It's like, look, when we choose to be with somebody, we're choosing to be with them as they are, ideally. And if we make that choice and decide to stay, at some point we have to come to understand that it is not only not within our power to change them, but it's also pretty shitty to stay in a relationship and just give energy to wanting to change your partner. Which and also, I think part of it is maturity. You know, Zach, it's like at some point you come to understand you're not going to be in partnership with someone and like everything about them and everything about what they do. And they're going to annoy you and they're going to trigger you. And they're likely to trigger you more than anyone on the planet if it's a deep committed relationship, because that's what happens in all deep relationships, right? And so if you can go in with your eyes wide open a bit more, or they'll open as you progress and just understand. What else do I want? Well, there's something else I want to say about that is I do have an opinion about partnership and the people we choose in our lives, not just romantic relationships, but friendships as well, that if we're choosing to stay in them, there's something there for us. And my growth is not dependent on my partner growing, I don't believe, but my growth is dependent on me being available to the transitions that happen throughout the relationship I have with my partner. Which is to say, if my partner can be on whatever path he's on, right? And that's for him to decide. And for me, it's about, should I choose to, holding my heart open, not only to myself, but to his path and his exploration and what gets developed between the two of us because of that. And if it's something that ultimately isn't fulfilling, then it's time to move on. And even if I'm choosing to stay in something that's ultimately not fulfilling, mm-hmm. then I believe I don't like to reflect on the choices I've made in my life through this lens of regret, which isn't to say that I haven't regretted things, but if I chose to stay in a relationship and I look back on it and think, oh my God, I could have gotten out of that 3 years earlier, easy, right? For me, if I'm taking a more expansive perspective, how I would see that is you needed to be there for those 3 extra years. We get up, we leave when we're ready. And until we're ready, we don't leave. So to suggest that I should have left 3 years earlier is to discount everything that I could have possibly learned and gleaned for those extra 3 years, even if they were difficult, even if they were uncomfortable. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do think that I think of life almost all the time as an adult education class. Yeah, sure. And I do think like every relationship that we're in is like a course. Yeah. And we won't pass until we've learned the lessons that we were meant to learn in it. And sometimes it takes time. And then sometimes looking back, you're like, oh, it's so simple. How did I not know? But you have to go through that sometimes uncomfortable process of learning. And even hearing your story, I do think that like what we see in the world is a reflection of ourselves. And it's very possible that like your partners did not think that you were as loving as they were. But when I hear you say, oh, my partners were much more unconditional loving than me, I'm like, you were just looking for the love and you saw all the love and you're like, man, if only I could be as loving as that. And I'm sure they were like, actually, you're an amazing person and I love being in a relationship with you too.
Oh, for sure. I don't discount. I was very loving. It's only that along with my love, there was an energy within me that wanted them to change in certain mm-hmm. ways or you know, would evolve in certain ways. And I never felt that energy from them. But no, I was very loving. I can't help but be loving. Come on.
Well, that's the thing. When you're committed to unconditional love, you see, you're more likely to see all those conditions that you have put on it. And meanwhile, other people are like, what are you talking about? I'm the most conditional loving person I know.
And I think it becomes something else the moment we add even a single condition to love. I don't think it's love anymore.
Well, that sort of ties into, again, looking at how our relationship to self-love translates to another person. And basically, we talked about me accepting myself might undercut my motivation to improve myself. So wouldn't completely accepting my partner undercut their motivation to, say, even want to be a better partner to me and want to be more loving to me?
No, if anything, well, I can't speak about you and your...
Me in a general sense.
I feel like true acceptance of another human being is the most beautiful invitation we can offer someone else and invites in them the truest expression of who they are. So for me, that's the greatest gift you can give someone. I don't think it minimizes them. I don't think it does anything but serve them. And at the same time, because I'm going to speak to what you're asking as well, is maybe you will find that the fullest expression of the person you've chosen as your partner is ultimately not someone you want to be with. And that's a very different situation, right? But you accepting your partner and loving them, which doesn't mean also not encouraging them, not nudging them lovingly, not necessarily from the place within you that needs them to change. But if you're really tuned into your partner, you may be connecting to the place within them that wants to make changes. And they've probably vocalized to you places within them that wants to do things differently. So being a loving, supportive partner can look like, hey, you've been talking about wanting to take some walks. Let's go for a walk. Right? But if that's coming from a place within you that needs them to walk, it's a very different energy, right? Mm-hmm. Then it's not about them. Then it's about you. So that's for me, we can say the exact same sentence to somebody. And if it's coming from our needs, it's going to sound a whole lot different than if it's coming from what we feel is just genuine, honest support of their needs.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely. I just had this little light bulb moment because I was like, oh, wait, like in how we love others, we're demonstrating how love can be done. And then they can better love themselves too. Like if you're like, oh, you're in a really, you know, stressful mood, let's do something to relieve your stress. It makes that little message, I should do things to take care of my own needs. And then there's this wonderful resonance happens.
When it's love is the foundation, absolutely.
And I want to repeat another beautiful one-liner that you just said. True acceptance of another human being is the most beautiful invitation we can offer someone else.
Ooh, will you send me these? These are good.
Well, I mean, you already have a lovely compilation. So as we're winding down, we got to talk about the book a little bit more. Okay. Because I had read your first one, and that's why we talked about the first podcast. And I was sort of expecting something similar. And then I opened it up and I was like, oh, this isn't a book with a narrative that kind of flows from one page to the next. So tell those unfamiliar, which is most people, because it came out yesterday. How did you organize the book? What's it look like? What's the reading experience like? How do you want people to engage with this material?
Cool. Well, I want them to engage with it however they want to. And it's called Enough As You Are. And it's a compilation of short prose and poetry, so little shorter pieces of writing, the type of stuff that I share all over social media and have for many years. And it's the kind of book that you can read straight through, or it's a perfect book that if you want to, for me, it's almost like picking an oracle card or something. You just kind of close your eyes, hold the book in your hands, and open it up to a page, and then read the message on that page. And maybe meditate on that for the day. Maybe that's the message that you need to hear. And it's divided into three sections, you, me, and us. So the you section are all pieces that are directed at you. The me section are all like, so they're a bit more cheerleader. Like the you section's very, come on, you can do it. You're beautiful. Let's go. And then the me section is a bit more self-reflective. Like taking ownership, really getting honest and looking at the ways in which I'm showing up in my own life and how can I offer myself grace within that. And then the us section is kind of a combination of the two, but it's more of like a universal call to action for all of us.
Mm. So you grabbed your own copy, right?
I did. Yeah, I want to.
I think we should do this because, yeah. First of all, I've read a few of your quotes already, and I think we need to have the author read his own quotes. But because you just said it's like an oracle reading, close your eyes, pick a page, and start reading it. Now, if you feel called to read something from it specifically, feel free, but maybe we should hear it.
I will, but I feel called for you to call out a number.
Any number?
Yeah, but
58.
Okay, let's see. This is, by the way, at the reading last night, it was so much fun, the launch event, because typically you'll read a chapter or something at one of these things. But last night I did what we're doing now, and people would just shout out a page number, and I would open it up and read the page. And it was a lot of fun and much more interactive. 58. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
There will always be reasons you're not ready enough. And always fears that will beg you not to follow your heart's calling. Sometimes the only way to overcome all the obstacles your mind presents is to start wherever you are with whatever you have to offer in the moment. To trust that this is enough and that you're enough. Really, just begin. Does that resonate?
It does.
But you said no.
No, I taught 3 yoga classes this morning, and a recurring theme was meeting ourselves exactly where we are.
Yeah.
Which is especially what I try to encourage, because as a teacher, I'm kind of gauging everyone's abilities in the room. And like, you know, like today, there's clearly someone this is like their first 10 minutes of yoga, and somebody else who this is like they've been doing it 10 years. And I even mentioned that, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And if we want to meet ourselves exactly where we are, whether or not we can touch our toes, we're still deserving of love.
Absolutely. I love that.
That was fun. Let's do one more. Let's do 115.
Okay. 115. Okay. This is a good one for the world right now. A person's humanity is always there on some level. Always. If I can't find it, I know it's time to search a little harder for my own.
Always comes back to ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Is that good enough or anything else?
I feel satisfied.
Okay.
Good. I mean, we could do this all day, but
yeah. Maybe not for a podcast episode. We'll have a tea date.
I feel like the answer might just be 50-50, but so far a lot of our emphasis has been on loving the imperfections, loving the not the parts of ourselves that's hard to love. And, you know, how much of our self-love practice is holding the bad parts with compassion and celebrating the good parts?
Well, I just think it's so much easier to celebrate the good parts, right? And hold the good parts with like openness and excitement, right? Like the fact that I'm a loving, compassionate human being is very easy for me to get into, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm an envious, jealous human being is a little harder for me to mm-hmm. shine the light of love on. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the work mm-hmm. is not in the celebration of the good bits, as we see good bits, because that's much more natural and easy. The work is in looking at the places our mind wants to take us into self-abuse and shame and judgment. And in those places, still be willing to offer grace and love to the parts that our mind wants to shame, and to do so without going to war with our mind, right? Because that's the other trick to this thing. If when we start to become aware of how insidious our mind can be, there can be an inclination in us to go to war with it, to hate it, to try to squelch our ego and put it in the dungeon. And all this does inside of ourselves is create more war. So that is it. That is an invitation of the ego, right? Mm-hmm. The invitation of the heart is, yes, it's true. Your mind can be self-abusive and critical and insane. And it too is worthy of your love. And the more loving we become with ourselves, the less, it's not the less, for me, my experience isn't that my mind is less noisy, because my mind is so freaking insane. It's like, I watch it sometimes. I'm just like, It's overwhelming how abusive and insane it can be. But what has shifted inside of me is that I'm so much more well practiced at loving myself that noise, I don't internalize it in the same way. It's like being able to hear something in the distance versus it pounding on your body, right? And the mind's noise and self-abuse becomes quieter when you allow yourself to sink into your heart. And also, even beyond the heart, when you allow yourself to just bear witness, when you can remember we are not our minds and we are not our thoughts, which is to say there's a place within you, I refer to it as the soul, that is always living in peace, that is never in suffering, never in struggle. And that soul-centered place is incredibly adept at simply bearing witness to our human experience, watching all of those thoughts play out without becoming attached to any of them. It's like that phrase, become the sky and let your thoughts be the weather, right? Mm. The sky is all expansive. It's not affected by the weather. And the more we can play with that, and the more we can play with love, it's like you're going to be putting yourself in a good place because you're not bound to what's going on in your mind. And that's where all of this struggle and suffering is created.
Mm. Such, it's poetry. It's poetry listening to you. Like, I can't believe this is just improv for you. Just because the first line I had written was, "We have to give grace and love to the parts that our mind wants to shame." And then I was like, oh, this, and then we got another one. We got, "The mind's abuse gets quieter when we sink into the truth of the heart."
Oh, I'm good, man. No.
I celebrate your good parts too.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you. I celebrate yours as well, brother.
So, you know, I feel like we've covered it from so many angles, but still I end every podcast episode with the same question, which is, what do you wish everyone knew about love?
I wish everyone knew that it is available to us all the time, 24/7. It is an energy that is alive within us and outside of us. In any time we choose to play with this energy, we will be serving ourselves, everyone we encounter, our planet, and the world in general. Oh, did you hear my ankle crack? It made this loud crack at the end.
I did, but we can edit that out. But now I gotta edit the part about you talking about your ankle too. Or maybe I'll leave it in. I should leave it in,
yeah,
because
it's real. I love the part of you that talks about my ankle.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk about love and our ankle cracks.
Exactly. That's
perfection here. I shouldn't edit a single thing in this out of this interview. I should just leave it perfectly as is.
I'm good with that.
All the imperfections.
I trust you. What are you saying? Were there a lot of imperfections? No, I'm kidding. Imagine if I got really insecure now. What do you mean imperfections, Zach?
So, Scott Stabile, author of Enough As You Are and Big Love. And, you know, the funny thing is Big Love has this long tagline after it. Uh-huh. So then I was like, oh, what's the tagline after Enough As You Are? Nothing. You don't need it. It's perfectly enough, just as exactly as it is.
It says exactly what the book's about.
You don't need any more words. You're enough. Yeah. So for our listeners who want to learn more about you, how can they find you?
Yeah, I mean, scottstabile.com. is my website. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, sharing the types of things that I'll be sharing in these next months, actual pages from the book too. So you'll get tastes of the book. And come to Bali if you want. My friend David Gandelman and I are having a retreat in Bali in May of 2024. And it's going to be beautiful. It's meditation, breath work, and writing. And come, okay. You, Zach, personally come to Bali. And Bali listeners.
First, I thought you were there now, but I was like, oh, right, May. Yeah. Okay, that's a good time. Yeah.
You can follow all the stuff I'm doing through my website and stuff in different workshops I offer and online breath work. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming back onto the show. I appreciate you and all your perfections and the imperfections.
Thank you so much, Scott. Back at you.
Wow. What an incredible interview. Thank you so much, listeners, for listening to the show. I hope you remember all the valuable lessons that Scott Stabile shared with us today, including our deepest and greatest desire is to love and be loved. When we love ourselves, we become the best versions of ourselves. And when we love another, we invite them to become the best person they can be. Our relationship with ourselves forms the foundation from which we experience everyone and everything in this world. So the better relationship we have with ourselves, the better we'll be in the world. We can bring compassion and acceptance to all parts of ourselves, even those bad choices we make, those mistakes that we make, we can recognize it's all part of being human. And true acceptance of another human being is the most beautiful invitation we can offer somebody else. Thanks again for listening. We hope you know that you are loved, you are lovable, you are loving, and perfect just the way you are. If you want to learn more about me, you can head to zachbeach.com and learn more about the show at theheartcenter.com. Take care, everyone.
Thanks again for listening to the Learn to Love podcast. To learn more about the show and your host, head over to ZachBeach.com or theheartcenter.com. You can also follow Zach on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.